Open your Bibles, please, again to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. We started here last week and never got very far, so we're going to pick it up again, see how far we get tonight. The one benefit of a pastor is that you get to teach in a series. Yeah. That means that you study and you get your message ready and you just go as long as you can, and if you're not done, you just unhook and make it like a boxcar and come back the next week and hook up another boxcar until you end up with a train so long fills up the it says he the train of his glory. Never mind. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen.
Amen.
I'm a good practicing preacher of that. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we talked about this eternal purpose. We kind of laid out a couple of different things that Jesus was sent for a purpose. We looked at Luke 4:43 the last week, and the week actually before, we've talked about a couple different things over the last few weeks. He said, I must preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, for I was sent for this purpose. When he was before Pilate in John 18, he said, for this purpose I was born, and to this end I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. I believe you and I are here for that purpose. I believe you and I were born again for that very purpose, that we are a witness and to bear witness to the truth. But also he said that he knew he was going to suffer on the cross, that he was going to go to the cross, but he knew there was a purpose behind it. He said, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And basically, he says, no, but for this purpose, I came to this hour. And he goes on in 1 John, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil. Thank God Jesus came and destroyed the works of the enemy. You know, these people who believe that God is in control of everything, they forget that there's an enemy. If there is not an enemy, then part of the purpose for Jesus being here is unnecessary.
It's true.
Then it's unnecessary. Either he came for a purpose to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy certain things when he went to the cross. He came and to do the things that he has said he would do. And as Acts 26 for Paul then, which I think applies to us, which we've talked about a couple of weeks ago about submitting to God and resisting the devil. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. I believe he's done that for us. He's appeared to you. He's spoken to your heart to make you a minister and a witness. Well, I'm not ordained to do that. I won't stand in the pulpit. Yeah, you've got a pulpit. Every one of us have a pulpit. And you are a minister of the gospel, whether you realize it or not. We're all ministers. We're all witnesses. To turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to open their eyes, to turn them, he says, we have turning power so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance that Jesus Christ required for us when he went to the cross. So I just summarized a couple of weeks' worth of stuff there. And we went through all of Ephesians 3, 1 through 12 with talking about this great mystery, this mystery that's been revealed. And I use the illustration of the fact that Mary and I love good old mysteries. And you can go back and listen to that message. And we ended up kind of wrapping it up at Colossians chapter 1. He says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we came to this place, this revelation of righteousness by faith. It's not righteousness through works. It's not righteousness through what you and I accomplish. It's being in a right relationship with him because of what Jesus has done for us. It's not what I've done for Jesus, it's what Jesus has done for me. My faith is in Christ, and my faith is in his faith, not me. And when you get that established in your heart, it will change the way you think. It'll change the feeling of, I've not done enough. How many of you were brought up in a religious situation where, in a sense, you never felt quite good enough? You just never quite prayed enough. You never quite were, you know, well, if you were a Christian, you'd do fill in the blank. And no matter how hard you tried that, it was never enough. And so the question always came up, well, when is enough enough? And when it comes to religion, it never is enough. But when it comes to Jesus, thank God he was enough. He did it. He fulfilled it. When he said it is finished, do you think it was finished or not?
Yes.
And see, there's a lot of things that we have to understand that was finished that day on the cross. My faith is in what he accomplished on the cross. That's the gospel. That's the good news that you and I have. And the church has done a lousy job of saying that. The church has not been a very good witness or minister of that particular truth. Sadly, the majority of so-called Christians, believers. Now, I know I get in trouble when I say this, but there's people right now who are going to churches that call themselves Christian, and they are no more Christians in their heart than a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu or an agnostic or anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a Christian church. I memorized the Apostles' Creed. I could quote the Lord's Prayer. I was, you know, went through confirmation. I was a confirmed idiot. Such were some of us. We went through confirmation, but what did we get confirmed into? Religious thinking, religious beliefs, religious education.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get confirmed into the body of Christ. That didn't happen until years later when I came into a right relationship. I put my faith in what Jesus had done, not in my faith of memorizing so many things and standing before a group of men who said, okay, you memorize it, we'll let you in the church now. You're part of the church. You can receive communion. You are one of us. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? And then you think, all right, now I can, I'm one of them, I'm in the church, I'm part of the church, I'm cool. Glory to God, I'm a Christian. Don't know what it meant, didn't have any power to it, didn't have any revelation, I had no turning power at all. And yet there I was, a Christian. I was a Christian in name only. I had the label, but I didn't have anything on the inside. My heart was not established, it was empty. I still needed Jesus. They gave me an information and an education. They gave me things to memorize. Just because you can memorize things doesn't mean it's going to work for you. I mean, years ago I heard of a guy who was an atheist who memorized the Bible, and he'd go around and quote the Bible and drive everybody crazy because he knew more scriptures than most Christians. Problem is, all he had was like a computer up here. He had a photographic memory, and he could quote any scripture, any verse, anywhere else. He had it all in his head, but his heart was empty. The purpose of this church, the purpose that you and I are here tonight, is for our hearts to become established in the things that God has done and wants to do in our lives, and for us to take that to a lost and dying world. Their hearts need to be established. And there are a lot of churches doing wonderful things. Mary and I were talking about this the other day. You know, our church isn't known for its programs. And when I stand before Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and he's going to ask me what I did with the gifts and callings of God, I said, I did everything I could to teach people to have their hearts established. And he's not going to say, gee, you didn't have any fancy programs where you had a nursery and you, where was your bus ministry?
Come on.
Now, if he'd have told me to have a bus ministry, we'd have them all lined up out there. Never told me to have a bus ministry. Thank God. You know, maybe someday we'll have a bus ministry, a little mini bus. I don't know. I don't know what. And how many of you get your driver's training in the bus? Never mind. So there's a mystery revealed. I got my bus driver right here in the front row. He's all ready to go. He'll get the whole Jefferson Lines working for us. Glory to God. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 again. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, everyone say now.
Yeah.
Right now, as the church, as a believer, as a Christian, there's something going on all around us. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, depending on your translation and depending on who you're favorite commentator is. Some would say that's only talking about angels. I would say that it has a tendency, because the same words are talking about there's principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. Those are the same terminology. So I think it's any spiritual being here that's out in the realm of the spirit, which is the real reality of our existence. You know, we're in this physical realm, but there's another realm called the spirit realm. And those principalities and those powers have been watching all of this unfold since creation. And they've been watching and trying to figure out, what is God up to? What is he doing with this crazy thing called humanity? He created this thing and these people, and then he gave them this authority, and they messed up, and then he wiped them out and then started over again. And he gave them an ark and he started over and delivered them out of Egypt to start over. Told Moses to get out of the way. He was going to fry them all, started over. And they're all going, jeez, what's going on? And the principalities and powers in heavenly places are finally looking at the church and saying, oh, all of that to get to this. All of that to get to the place where the church is the body of Christ. Where the church has the authority in the earth today to represent God the way Adam and Eve were supposed to represent God and exercise authority in the earth. And still the church is messing up. But at least we've got a foothold. And we're multiplying. And we're growing. And the gates of hell will not prevail.
That's right. That's
we're making progress whether it looks like it or not. And so it says that the church is making known to these principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. Now, I know some of these principalities didn't think God was too wise in the way he gave it to us. He's like, I wouldn't give that to you guys if that was it. But humanity said, no, we can do it, God. See, every now and then, God will find a believer who is willing to really believe him and really stand in the gap, really go after the things of God. And the manifold wisdom of God all of a sudden becomes evident. People get raised from the dead. People get healed. People get filled with the Holy Ghost. People get their minds renewed. People get delivered. People have their hearts turned. And we're all living proof of it right here. Every one of us in this room is a living proof of the manifold wisdom of God. Because if you would have asked anybody else years ago where my life was going, it wouldn't have been behind this pulpit. I guarantee you that. Come on. Where you are today, in many cases, people have said, no, I don't believe that. But the manifold wisdom of God is there. It says, according to the eternal purpose, that was what we got all caught up with last week, talking about his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So we ended up here talking about the ABCs of faith. Access, boldness, and confidence. Access into his presence, boldness to enter into his presence, and confidence then to stand in his presence. I'm going to say that again. It's the ABCs of our faith in him. Really, of our faith in Christ, of his faith. Access into his presence, boldness to enter into his presence, and then the confidence to stand in his presence. Because what we have today are a lot of Christians who don't have the boldness. Now, I know in the King James and some translations the word boldness comes first, but I don't think you can be bold before the throne of grace unless you first have access. So I took my liberties and I put ABC, not BAC. Is that all right? Because once I have access to something, then I can be bold. You know, coming up in a couple weeks, Pastor Mary and I will be flying out on Monday and going to Washington, D.C. for a pastor's conference. And one of the benefits of that pastor's conference is we get access into the Capitol and to some other places that the public doesn't get into. We'll be there with David Barton and some other pastors for a specific meeting, and we're going to have access. And, you know, I'm not going to walk in there like, oh, I wonder if the Secret Service is going to arrest me. I'm not going to walk in there with fear and trembling. I'm not going to walk in there, you know, hiding behind every little statue. Huh? What if they find me in there? I'm going to go in there boldly. Why? Because I have access. See, the boldness and the confidence to stand there comes because I know I have access. See, if you don't know you have access, what's going to happen? You might hold back a little bit. You don't have the confidence to say, well, I can just come in. We all know different stories. Just think of Esther, that story where she had the boldness and the confidence to say the things that she did to the king because she had access into the throne room of the king at the time. Now, there are a lot of different stories, a lot of different illustrations, but if I think about this access that I have, we were there back in 2010 for a similar meeting, and there's about 70 of us as far as pastors. And we got into a room that is absolutely off limits in the Library of Congress. We didn't know that we had to pass through all this stuff and get in there and get in there. And then once you got in there, they weren't letting you out because it was reserved. And it was about, this is kind of cool. But then once we got in the room, man, I was up walking around looking at everything, looking at the statues and the books. And it was quite the education. I didn't sit in my little chair and tremble in fear. What if I break something? It's so precious and so valuable. You know, I'll never be able to pay it back. I'll be in Leavenworth for sure. Huh? Access and boldness and confidence all come together. And in this case, he says, because it's by the faith of him. Does not say in most translations, except the modern ones that have, I think, misunderstood the language. The original language in many cases, it can be translated both ways. I'm not going to argue with that. But if you really look at Young's literal translation, some of the Greek translations, it is the faith of Christ, not my faith in Christ. Now that works. But what is my faith in? The faith of Christ. So let's translate it correctly. Let's read it correctly. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, by his faith. One translation like says, by his faithfulness. Do you think he was faithful to do what the Father asked him to do?
Yes.
Yeah. And because of his faithfulness, you and I are now recipients of all that he did. So I have access. I have boldness. I have confidence because of what he has done. You know, Ephesians 3:12 in the New Living says this, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. I can just boldly and confidently come into God's presence. Why? Because I have access. Another translation says this, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God because of Christ's faithfulness. Another one says this, now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. Do you think of God being glad that you showed up? Because of his glad welcome, when we come with Christ and trust in him. Now notice that one. That actually says, I'm coming with Christ. When I come into God's presence, who am I coming with? I'm only allowed there because I'm with him, because I'm in him. Because of Christ in me and me in him, I'm allowed into God's presence. Mary said earlier that we've been reading through some of the Old Testament stuff, Deuteronomy and so forth, and where we read that the nation of Israel, they didn't like this fire and smoke and all this stuff going on. They just said, Moses, tell you what, you go talk to God, we'll just stay out here. Mm-hmm. They weren't real excited about access. They weren't too excited about being bold and standing in God's presence. In fact, they figured that if I stood in God's presence, I'm dead. So, Moses, if anybody's going to die, we'll let you check it out. You go ahead and check it out, and we'll find out. Well, later on during the priesthood, you all, if you read further on in the priesthood, what did they end up doing to the priests? They had to have little bells sewed on the bottom of their robes. You know why that was? Because as long as they could hear the tinkle, 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 they knew they hadn't dropped dead. In fact, some talk about Now, it's an implication. I'm not quite sure how it works, that they actually had a little rope tied around the ankle of some of them.
Yeah.
You know, I would not want to be one of those priests. Hey, I'm cool. I'm coming back out. You don't need to, you know, have a rope around my ankle. Because if I drop dead, you'll be dragging me out like this, you know. But see, there was enough stories of people going in there and offering strange fire with the wrong heart, the wrong motive, trying to go into God's presence on their own, trying to get access on their what? Own merit, on their own works, with their own qualifications. And guess what? They paid the consequences. Now, I'm going to read that translation again. Now we can come fearlessly. That's without fear. Not just, ha-ha, fearlessly! No, I mean without fear. I am not afraid of being right in God's presence, assured of His glad welcome when we come with Christ and with our trust in Him. Here's another one. God did this according to His eternal plan, and He was able to do what He had planned because of all that Christ Jesus, our Lord had done. Christ now gives us courage and confidence so that we can come to God by faith. So all of this boils down to the significance that we have the faith of God. I have my faith in God. My faith is in what Christ has done so that I have access into His presence and I have the confidence to stand there in His presence. And that's what righteousness is, to stand there in the presence of God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Because religion says you don't deserve to stand in His presence. You do not deserve to be here. You have not done anything worthy to be in His presence. And you know, we don't come into the throne saying, I'm worthy, I'm worthy. We walk in and say, worthy is the
Lamb.
The Lamb. See, we put our faith in the Lamb. We put our faith in Jesus. When I put my faith in what Jesus has done, my faith is not in myself. Now again, that is so hard for a generation of people who have been taught to trust in themselves, or for a creation that, in a sense, of society and culture that says, believe in yourself,
yeah.
Do your own thing,
yeah.
You know, just it's all about me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity. And, you know, we have a tendency then to not humble and submit ourselves to God. But if I'm submitted to God, I can resist the devil, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. And I can resist my own pride. I can resist my own desire to sometimes build myself up or depend on myself or promote myself, make myself look worthy. No. I can walk into His presence because of what Jesus has done for me. It gives me access by the faith of Him. So as I've said, our righteousness is the result of my faith in Him, what He has accomplished. It was His works, not my works. Romans 3:22 says this, talking about the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22, again, which is by the faith of. Everyone say of. Does not say in. It says of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. That's us. Upon all that believe. For there is no difference. We looked last week at Ephesians 2:17 that talked about that Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and also to those who were near, speaking of Jew and Gentile. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have what? Access to the Father because of what Jesus has accomplished, both Jew and Gentile. Now see again, there's a lot of people that would think, well, unless you're one of the chosen generation, one of the chosen people, you really don't have access. The minute I accept Christ because He has chosen all of us, we're all chosen now. And we are chosen to come and stand before Him without a sense of guilt or condemnation. I've been chosen to come into His presence and leave all that other stuff outside the Holy of Holies. Actually, some would call it the court of the Gentiles. That's where they did all the commerce. That's where they did all the sacrifices, where they did all the buying and selling of turtle doves and everything else. I was joking with someone here last week about the fact that, you know, it's, I understand people that go to churches that are into the Messianic Jewish traditions and so forth. I said, but the minute they start requiring you to show up with a lamb or a goat, you get out of that church. Hello. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing wrong with those Messianic things as long as they don't mess it up. That's part of the Messianic. It's a mess. Sometimes when they start, oh, now you got to wear the robes. You know, you got to start wearing your hair. You got to start having the you know, this. And you can't pray without a shawl on. I'm sorry. At what point did that become a religious tradition and doctrine, which now makes the Word of God
none effect?
And so that's when you start to be careful. Every church has it. I'm sure if someone came in here and said, man, you guys got your own traditions and doctrines. I'm sure we do. I just don't know what they are, but I like my traditions and doctrines. We got good ones. Amen. Sound doctrine. So here we are. We're looking at having access through Him by one Spirit to the Father. Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, again, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So I'm standing in this place of grace. I'm standing in this place of His presence. You say, well, no, I'm sitting in a chair in a room at 562 Snelling Avenue South right now. That's where you think you are. Do you know where God knows you are? Seated in Christ, in heavenly places, in the place of righteousness, in that place of holiness, in that place of acceptance, because that's what He made you. He made you the righteousness of God.
Yes.
So, you know, if I came to church on time, I got to church on time, and I sat in the front row, right where Pastor could spit on me while he's preaching, and I just got that holy anointing on me. Glory to God. I'm just so worthy. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way.
Shucks.
Josh was really open. He was the first one here. We have access by grace, through faith, through that Spirit, whether you're Jew or Gentile, no matter what your heritage is, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to read Romans 3:22 again. Even the righteousness of God. Whose righteousness?
God.
Listen to me, please, because religion has done a job on us. No matter what kind of religious background you come from, your sense of righteousness has been affected by the traditions and doctrines of our culture and by our world, by the denomination you perhaps were brought up in or the lack thereof. But your sense of being okay. Why do we have such a huge problem today with people doing drugs and alcohol and feeling unworthy and feeling not good enough and kids committing suicide and just why? Because they don't know who they are. They have not heard the message of righteousness. They don't know that Jesus died for them. They don't have to die.
That's right.
They haven't heard it. Oh, they've sat through children's church. Oh, they sat through youth group. But see, they haven't really taken heed. Back a few weeks ago, I had some time warp, a couple months ago, we talked about take heed. Taking heed. Really listening with the intent to do what you hear. Put it in your heart. Renew your mind to it. And there's people all around us still today. You will run into these people at work. You will run into these people in your family. You will run into these people wherever you are. They trust in their works. They may not openly acknowledge it, but they trust in themselves for their sense of value, their sense of worth, their sense of salvation. You know, we can't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but by trust, my faith is not in me. My trust and my faith is in what Jesus has accomplished. It gives me access. It gives me the boldness to go there. And it gives me the confidence to stand in His presence without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Can you imagine that? You know, I don't know about you, but I can think of some times in my life when I was caught doing something, and I was standing in the presence of certain people that I had a healthy, what we would call the fear of the Lord. And you didn't have that cocky attitude, hey, what are you going to do about it? You know, I was like, oh, boy, the hammer's going to fall. I was waiting for the consequences of my stupidity, of my foolishness. I can think of one time when I was a teenager and got arrested, specifically. And had to get a drive home in the back seat of a police car. And, yeah, I did. BC days, qualify that. You get home and you get into that situation and you walk in there. Now, you know, I remember my dad was gone, so, you know, he was, I don't know where he was, traveling sometime. My mother had to take care of me. It was kind of like, wait till your father gets home. No. I was already in fear and trembling with the police officer. Because I had respect for the fact that he could make my life difficult. Hello? Now, what do you do? You fess up. You say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing. We were down on the railroad tracks with our BB guns, shooting pigeons. Right next to the Great Northern Railway going by. They didn't like us shooting our BB guns at the trains. Oh, yeah. I missed that pigeon and I hit that. The Vista Dome. Ping, ping. Yeah, you might get arrested for doing that. Yeah, I did. Dumb kids. But fear God then comes on you. Did I ever do that again? Nope. Nope. I went out with my BB gun and never got caught. But I didn't go shooting at trains or shooting at cars or shooting at people. What happens? When you have people around you that you respect, when you know that they have the authority or the power to impact your life, you kind of straighten up, don't you? And if you don't, you're a fool. These people that mouth off and fight back, I'm sorry, but they have no understanding of what they're doing. Because when you get into the presence of God, that's not going to fly.
Yes.
If you think that that's a way of reacting and that that's part of your character and that's just the way you are, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, yeah? You're about to meet somebody who's going to tell you where you're going to spend eternity. Mm-hmm. And what kind of reward you're going to have. What kind of situation it's going to be. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, yes, they are. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And if we're smart, we'll bow now and confess now. Rather than when we get there. And we're forced to. I would rather submit and yield. Because once I do, and I'm in Him, and I go into the presence with God, then I have access, then I can be bold. Because I'm with Him. I can be bold because I have every right to be there. I can be confident to stand in His presence because I have every right to be there. Galatians 2:16 says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, or in other words, his own works, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now notice again, it says what? The faith of. Not my faith in. It's the faith of. That changes it, doesn't it? My faith is in His faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16. Even we have believed in Jesus. Now he always adds that later in. He kind of brings this in behind it. In Romans 3:22, it talks about, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. Galatians 2:16 again, by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed. See, our believing is attached to the faith of Jesus Christ. So yes, we have faith in Him, but it starts by His faith. It began with His faith and His faithfulness, as we read that other translation. That it says Galatians 2:16, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So it says it twice in the same verse, by the faith of Christ. I'm justified now, not by my faith, but by the faith of, everyone say of,
of,
say it again, of. I'm trying to get this across to you, because we traditionally think of my faith in Christ. It's my faith in Christ. That's true. But what is it? What is my faith in? It's in what he did. In his faithfulness.
Yeah.
In his faith.
Yeah.
In his boldness. In his confidence. In his the fact that he did something for us.
Yeah. He kept every law.
Absolutely. He was a doer of the word. So then again, knowing that a man is not justified. And you know what justified means? Just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means, justified. It's just, we're righteous. Justified, never sinned. So he says, a man can't be justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no man be justified. So it says it three times about justification, twice about the faith of Christ, specifically about my faith in him. Then it goes on to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, just down a couple more verses. Therefore, Paul confesses, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, everyone say of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When you start seeing these scriptures all put together, and you start to see the big picture of the fact that Jesus accomplished something for us on our behalf, and it was his faith and his faithfulness to the assignment that he was given, how much more then should we be faithful to the assignment you and I have been given? Mm-hmm. Stay faithful to that. Put your trust in what he has done. Put your trust in the fact that he has given us something to do. Put your trust in the fact that when you have access to boldness and confidence, he is with you and we can walk boldly into that throne of grace and obtain the mercy we need in a time of need. That's what he's talking about. Philippians 3:9 says this, that we might be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not of works, the righteousness which is by faith. You know, someone would say, Pastor Duane, all you ever do is talk about faith and righteousness and get a new message. No. Because this is the heart of the gospel. This is where most Christians are still struggling. If you sat down with the majority of the Christians, and I said, again, I don't mean to be disrespectful or derogatory, but I am around of a lot of other ministers of other persuasions and stripes and spots and than ours. And it's amazing to me the things that I hear come out of their mouth sometimes, how unworthy they still seem, how unworthy they feel. And I know that sometimes it's just that sense of that religious, what I call false humility. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know, we're just old sinners. And that one just bothers me. I was an old sinner, but I'm not anymore.
That's right.
Don't call me that. Don't call yourself that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We did. But I've been made the righteousness of God. If I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, he's done a work on me, and a work in me, and a work through me, and a work for me.
Amen.
That I could not do on my own. I couldn't do it on my own. If I could have done it on my own, then he died in vain, as the scripture says. Then I didn't need a Savior. I could have saved myself. My faith is in him, but my faith is in the faith of Christ, his faithfulness to do what God the Father gave him an assignment to do as a man. He came as the Son of Man and accomplished something. He came with a purpose. to testify to the truth. All those scriptures we read in the beginning. There's more. I just gave you three or four. In the mouth of three or four witnesses, let a truth be established. Amen? And I gave you those three or four real quick. But all of this comes down to our access by faith. As Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, not ours, and having a high priest over the house of God, oh boy, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Boy, you listen to all those instructions back in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus and all the things that Pastor Murray and I have been reading here really recently as we've been going through our daily Bible stuff. Man, all the rituals that I thought, thank God I'm not in that priesthood. Mm-hmm. I couldn't keep up with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for my wife, I probably wouldn't keep up with my daily reading. And now I'm supposed to keep up with all this. Wash this and do that and do that. And I was like, I mean, it's all ritual and it's all works and it's all just repetition and it's all this stuff. And it really bothers me because it says, you know, the Lord thy God walks among you, and if you don't do this, he's going to be angry. And if he gets angry, about 25,000 of you are going to drop dead. And I'm like, man, people are dropping like flies around here because you guys just don't know how to keep the word. And then you read 1 Corinthians, as many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die prematurely. Why? Because you're not discerning the Lord's body. Because we're not understanding our position of righteousness. Because we don't have a clear, established heart about the faith of Christ. Because we don't know that we have access. We don't understand sometimes that we can be bold when we're in the presence of God. What do you need in your life? Be bold. Go ask for it. Ask, seek, knock. As my wife was teaching earlier, because your life depends on it.
Amen. Yeah.
Your life depends on it. Don't be passive about it. Be aggressive about it. It's yours. With boldness, go in and claim it. Oh, you arrogant faith people. I'm not arrogant in my faith. I'm trusting in my faith. Don't confuse my boldness for arrogance. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, when we first started the church, and I was still an instructor for Love Lines, and I got invited to teach a youth, a singles group, right, honey? At that church, big church over in Edina Church, huge. I mean, their fellowship hall was bigger than this whole complex, I think. And the beautiful fireplace going up 30 feet, and all these singles there, and I was preaching about righteousness and faith. And so I did a typical Mars Hill question and answer, which is what I did in those days. And first Young's whippersnapper wanted to ask me, kind of, so how come you can be so arrogant? And just his, I mean, good thing I was walking in love that night. I really wanted to say something. But I just let him know that, you know, don't confuse my boldness and my confidence in God because I have access. Don't confuse that for pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance is about me.
That's right.
About what I have accomplished.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm worthy to come into the presence of God. Look who I am. And see, if you don't understand it, when someone says, well, I'm the righteousness of God, they'll say, how dare you say that? Well, I can say that because Jesus said that about me. I'm not saying that about me on my own.
That's right.
I'm saying that because God says that about me. Do you understand? People might say, well, I don't know about that. I do, because I've got the Word of God.
That's right. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 1:4 says this, every time I think of you, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, which was given you by Jesus. I like that translation. Every time I think of you, I thank God for your lives of free and open access to God, given by Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 8 says this. 1 Corinthians, you already have all you need. You already have more access to God than you can handle. You already have more access to God than you can handle. We have all this access, and we don't know what to do with it sometimes.
That's right. Yeah.
We don't even fully appreciate the access that we have. You know, I have used this illustration about coming boldly, and I'll close with this. Our children, when they were growing up in our home, always went boldly to the refrigerator. Our children, specifically our son, that kid went through a gallon of milk a day, I think, when he went through his growing spurt. You know, he was a sprout and a spurt. And he didn't come in groveling, "Oh, Mom, Dad, I know I'm not worthy, but please, could I have a carrot? Just a little mini carrot. How about just a slice of carrot with a little glass of milk? Maybe a cookie. Throw in an English muffin with peanut butter and jelly." They don't come in groveling and whining and, you know, "Oh, I'm so unworthy just to open the refrigerator." And yet you got Christians coming to the throne of grace when Jesus has bought and paid for everything and died for them, went and suffered on the cross with them, went to hell, defeated death, hell, and the grave. He came for the very purpose to defeat the enemy. And we have these Christians coming to God with this groveling, whiny, defeated voice, image of themselves. Can just squeeze out a little healing, not a whole lot, just a little healing, you know, get me through the week. It's just pathetic. Makes me mad. It's sad, but it's funny at the same time. It's pathetic. It's what it is. You already have all you need. 1 Corinthians 4:8. You already have all you need. You already have more access to God than you can handle. Well, let's handle as much as we can get a hold of. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to close with this little statement. Many of you know that Mary Graves is our wonderful scribe here. She'll take our messages and do things with them. And every now and then I just have to read the ones that she does, because she took my message from last week, and it really wasn't fair because I wasn't done with my message, and she kind of beat me to it. But she called it the ABCs of the mystery. So she got half of it, and she ran the other half.
There you go.
Are you able to put that up for me, Chris, or not? I don't know. I don't know if the TV... Did the TV go off?
No.
Hold on, I got it blacked out.
Oh, turn back on. We have the power. See that? I made the TV sing. Oh, that's beautiful. Has anybody ever been there? Yosemite?
Someday.
Yeah, me too. Someday. Yes, no, maybe? The world of technology.
You have to take off my HD.
You had a glitch.
Oh, those rotten little glitches. Mm-hmm. All right, I'll just read it.
Yeah.
You
all
set
right,
up the...
Get it up there, I'll get it up there.
Set up the next thing for the offering then. See if we can do that. I will read this, because what she does is she took letters... Probably can't see it, but they're red, and then I bolded them for him. But she'll do some sentences like this, if you can see it, and then certain letters are bolded And then out of that, she comes either with an acronym or a phrase or a statement that helps you memorize it and helps you recall it. It's a learning tool. It's a wonderful learning tool. She's done this many times through our messages. So she calls it the ABCs. In Christ, we have access, boldness, and confidence. See, she's reading my notes. God has faith in His church to demonstrate, there's the D, His power. God is a consuming fire of evil. There's the E. I talked about that last week. God is a cleansing fire for good. There's F and G. Christ is in us is the hope of glory. H. God's family includes I, Jews and Gentiles who accept Jesus. J. The kingdom, K, of God is within us. We must let L, the world, know. We must make the mystery known to all men. We must not and keep it to ourselves. O. We must pursue and not question, get my bifocals right, God's purpose, there's the Q, and plan. God recreated us to reveal His love, there's the R. We have been sent to bear witness to the truth, that's the S and the T.
There you go.
And lots of things up there.
Yeah.
We must understand our assignment, there's U. Ha! Wonderful! What a deal. Perfect! Understand assignment. We must listen to the still small voice, V, and manifest the manifold wisdom of God, W. God expects you and me to exhibit Zoe life. A through Z. Mary, I love you. it just blesses me. When it just shows me that someone's listening and paying attention and taking notes. really listening. Can get my message better than I can, you know? That's that's just not fair, Dennis. It's not fair.
You know, you had to have Mary travel, you know.
What I need to do is preach my message and then alone send her the tape. Then she can do this and then that's all I do. Put this up on the screen and say, here's the summary of my message right here. That's it. Took me an hour to say that, and you can read it in, 100 words or less. Mm. Thank you. So but this is the kind of thing that then you can meditate on, and you can hold on to, and keep reading through it. And I've read through it I don't know how many times since she sent this to me last week. And it's one of those things that just helps you, again, God desires for us to stand in our righteousness, not think we have to still obtain it. I'm not in the position of trying to get righteous. I'm already righteous.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get God to do something for me when God's already accomplished more than I can even imagine. He's done more above even that which I can think or ask or even dream of. And yet, I've got a big imagination and I got some pretty big dreams. And God says, I'm way beyond you, buddy. I'm way beyond you. So where are you at with it? What are you thinking about? What are you hoping for? What are you looking for Jesus to do for you? What is it that you need Jesus to do for you? And then realize, has He already done it? It's not a matter of me getting on the side of trying to get Him to do it for me. It's a matter of me getting on the other side of saying, thank you, Jesus, I believe I receive it. Again, healing is the easiest example. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness. Because I am submitted to the healer, I'm resisting sickness. Because I'm submitted to the provider, I'm resisting lack. Because I'm submitted to joy unspeakable, full of glory, I'm resisting every temptation to get depressed or worried or into fear. And I've been there. You can get into worry without working at it. It can happen. Things don't go the way they think they should, and all of a sudden, now what are we going to do? And just the thoughts, the fiery darts. That's why you have a shield of faith.